Welcome to the Creating Wealth Simplified podcast. My name is Lauren Wells, here with my co-host, Chris Seveny. We're committed to providing you with the knowledge required to build wealth through real estate investing. Tired of consuming content about real estate? Stuck in analysis paralysis? Ready to do your first deal? As a member of our community, you will learn how to go from consuming content to taking that first step into the world of real estate investing. Our show is not about getting rich quick, but about providing you with the knowledge you need to take action. Join us as we speak with experienced investors who share action tips on how to escape the corporate world, start a thriving side hustle in the world of real estate, and go beyond your W-2 or 401k.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Creating Wealth Simplified podcast. I almost forgot the name of my podcast there. Thank you for listening. If you're a returning listener, appreciate you. If you are new, we provide tons of content on mortgage note investing, passive investing, and the strategies to move your game to the next level. Today, we will talk about passivity in note investing. How is it passive? How to educate yourself, defining investment goals, and choosing that right path, along with the type of due diligence you need to conduct to mitigate any risk, how to set up an investment, monitor performance, and then we'll wrap it up with some final thoughts. So let's dive right into it. So mortgage note investing, I continue to harp on and give people the education understanding of what that is. And the simplest thing I like to tell people is, instead of owning the property, you own the loan. You are collecting payments from the borrower. You're not dealing with tenants, termites, toilet repairs, not the upkeep. You can proverbially sit back, kick back, relax, and watch the money flow. Now, if it was that easy, everyone would be doing it. So there is some active component to it, but if you do the right things, you can make it pretty passive. And then if it is passive, it has these benefits: cash flow, diversification. And again, doing it right, your collateral is backed by real estate, which is something you can physically touch, see, and feel. Not any type of crypto. It's not giving somebody money for an earnest money deposit on something. Backed by real estate. So let's dive in to the first thing you should do, which is educate yourself. How do you educate yourself? Well, first, listening to this podcast is a great start. I've got 200 plus episodes. Used to do the Good Deeds Note Investing podcast. I have the YouTube channel. I have a membership group, which membership group is the only thing I charge for. It's 100 bucks a month, which basically is to keep the lights on. I don't use it as a profit center. It's not my main motivation to make money in notes. I am very much against the whole guru system of people charging ridiculous amounts of money to teach you something. Most of what you need to learn can be found online for free. In my group, what we like to talk about and share is real world case studies of what people are going through right now and answer to questions, more of a mentorship. But what are the basics? First, understanding the difference between a note and mortgage, which is a note is the IOU. Mortgage is the ball and chain that securitized that IOU to the property. I didn't know that before I bought my first house or even after I bought my first house. So you want to understand what's a note, what's a mortgage, what's performing, what's non-performing on type of loan, which performing is borrowers making payments, maintaining insurance, taxes. Non-performing means they're not in compliance with the agreements they have. First position, second position loans. What does all that mean? And we talk about all of this on all of our other episodes. I'm not going to go deep diving into it. And then understand the lingo. And like I said, we provide a free reference manual. Learning notes is like learning a new language. And for me, I'll share a story of when I was back in the heyday of doing some construction management. I was doing a job for the government. And you want to talk acronyms. The government has more acronyms than you can shake a stick at. And we were doing a building for USALSO, which is United States Army Legal Services Agency, like top dog lawyers of the Army. Oh boy, did they have acronym after acronym after acronym. And like I was learning a new language, just asking, what's that? What's that? What's that? No investing the same. You've got UPB, you got LTV, you got WAC, you've got IR, you've got IRR, you've got UPB, you got payoff, you got the DPB. There's so many acronyms that throw out there that something that you just want to learn. And not only learn what they are, but what they mean. Like, how are they relevant? How are they important? And that's really, I think, setting that foundation or building block is understanding those key terms. Now, again, I've said this in the past. I spent 6 months educating myself. And a good portion of that was building out like a calculator, figure out how to calculate returns, which aren't easy. It's not as simple as people make it out to be. And just remember, anybody who ever builds any type of model or calculator, it's wrong the minute you hit enter because you're forecasting the future. Nobody can forecast the future. You're just guessing. Garbage in equals garbage out. You want to make sure your data is as accurate as possible. Some other places besides me just talking about myself and all the educational content I throw out there, you know, there's podcasts, there's blogs, basically there's conventions you can attend. For example, you know, the Paper Source Seminar, which is going to be coming up in September, is a great avenue to learn more about node investing as well. Facebook groups. I have a Facebook group, Creating Wealth Simplified through Node Investing. And then connect with other communities and forums. Again, I talk a lot about what we provide. There's a lot of other webinars out there, industry leaders, you know, Beth Johnson, Fred and Tracy Rui, Marco Barrio, Jamie Bateman. Oh man, I'm awful at names. I could rattle off another 50 more, but it's a very small niche space. So you'll see the same names coming up over and over and over again. One thing I'll mention though about some of these names, do a little background and due diligence on them because there's some really good people in this space. There's some really bad people in this space. And typically, the ones who have the worst reputation are the best marketers. Just be careful of that. Another component of figuring out as you get started is defining your investment goals. For node investing, are you looking for monthly income or long-term growth? If you're looking for long-term growth, probably not the right play. This node investing is typically an income stream where you want those monthly payments. Now, go down the rabbit hole of long-term growth through non-performing. That's not passive. That is extremely active. You need to understand that. So if you're looking for monthly income, you're looking for what I like to always use the analogy, go to a water park. I like the lazy river. You know, that's where I want to hang out. If that's what you're looking for, node investing's for you. If you're looking for those water rides that go straight down in the tube, that's non-performing notes. Those are great too. But understand what the risk tolerance is. A lot higher risk in those compared to the lazy river. Doesn't mean the lazy river can't go bad. Deals don't go bad. But what is your time and effort you want to spend? How much capital are you willing to invest as well? So you got to evaluate once you decide, okay, I'm thinking monthly income. Now, what's your risk tolerance? Because you can go 100% financing, performing loans. You can do 100% financing on vacant land. It's a lot riskier than buying a seasoned loan from 7 years that the borrower has been making payments and it's a $50,000 loan on a $200,000 property. We hope you're enjoying this episode of Creating Wealth Simplified. We wanted to take a moment and tell you more about our passive income fund at 7E, which is open to both accredited and non-accredited investors. Our latest offering targets an 8% annual return distributed monthly, with the ability to potentially achieve a greater return through our bonus share program. If you'd like more information, reach out to us at invest@70investments.com to learn more. Thank you. So they could have the same payment, same everything, but one has a lot bigger risk profile than the other. Understand that. And then it goes back to, again, how much capital are you willing to invest? Put all your eggs in one basket, you want to diversify. All of this should align with your overall financial strategy. Can't let someone dictate it for you. You just need to understand. Cash flow, okay. Appreciation, sorry. Probably not really the game. Unless you're choosing to go the non-performing. But again, Anybody that tells you that is passive, they're full of it. Even performing loans, again, it's passive, but there's a little bit of activity in there. Not as much as I think owning a property, but there's a little bit. Now, if you want to go off to the fund model, invest in a fund like ours. Yep, that to me is truly passive, but some people are control freaks and don't want to lose control. That's up to you. That's something you got to decide, which kind of rolls into next, which is choosing that right path. You direct buy notes from the secondary market. So maybe I originated a note. You call me up. Chris, you got any notes for sale? You buy a loan from me. You've got somebody five houses down that's doing, bought a house for cash. They ran out of money and is like, hey, someone want to give me $50,000 to finish off construction on this house? First position note, you give them $50,000 loan for a year. You know, private lending, essentially. They pay you, and then you go to the next one. Or you have a rental property that's paid off or, you know, does that mortgage. You want to sell it. You sell or finance it. And you can figure out how to write and originate that loan. And you just originate a loan. Three options right there that you can go down. That actually three of the things we're going to be talking about at Paper Source. And the three paths that people can go down. The other options you can do, be passive, is invest in a mortgage note fund. For example, talk about ours. As of this recording, we have 50 plus assets in it. I've got a team of seven that are managing the fund. You can get started with $5,000. And there's risk investing in a fund. It's not guaranteed. Just want to make no investments guaranteed. Anyone tells you that? They're full of it. But to me, I view that as a lot more passive. You're investing in a diverse portfolio compared to a one-off asset. And gives you some education on how to vet a sponsor, but also see how they operate. Because if it's something you want to do, you can see how, I like to call myself a professional, we handle our assets. And then kind of flip side of that is, maybe you partner with an experienced investor. You know, do a joint venture, mentorship opportunity. Jamie Bateman, who I've done deals with in the past, he does mentorship. He does some, you know, I don't know if he's doing joint ventures or not. He has a small fund as well, but I think, you know, some people partner and do a JV. Now, I'll tell you that people will think going into a JV, you're going to be learning a ton. You learn a lot, but it's not as much education as you think because, I'll just give an example. That sponsor, let's say they have five loans and something comes up where they need to talk to an attorney and they reach out or an attorney calls them and that attorney's on all five loans. That attorney's just going to run down every single loan and talk about each one. That person's not going to have time, but oh, hold on, let me get my JV partner in on this call as well. So you'll hear kind of the transcription of it, but being in the throes of it. A lot of people think, oh, JV, I'm going to be in the throes of it. It really doesn't happen that way. And somebody tells you that. I tried it when I started to do it that way. And I was upfront when people were at start. I'm like, hey, I thought I could do this way. I can't, but this is how it's going to be. Typically, they're okay. Actually, everyone's okay with it. But, you know, it's just all about communication. And that kind of rolls into what I want to talk next is the due diligence side of things. We talk about a lot about the three P's, person, predicament, property, understanding, you know, the person in regards to their payment history. If they file bankruptcy, do they have a criminal record of the property? What's the property value compared to the loan balance? Are there any lien issues on the property? What's the condition of the property? And the predicament is, what happened? Why are they behind? Death, disability, job loss, divorce. Those are primary, but some people are just like bad at money. And the people who are bad at managing money, typically history repeats itself. When you see that, you have to understand, what are the legal considerations? What's the foreclosure timelines? How does all of this work? And this is where working with loan servicers that I mentioned, good counsel, good attorneys, but understand when you're going through this, and this is where it's still, you know, I mentioned that active versus passive. You know, people think, okay, I bought the loan, now it's passive, but buying the loan is a lot of upfront work. All this due diligence, figuring out what systems to use, figuring out what servicer to use, figure out where to order all these information, figure out where to find the attorneys. And the other component that I learned the hard way on early on, lost opportunity. I would bid and get five loans under agreement. I'd start due diligence. And four of those five were junk. That title issues, what they were representing didn't happen. And I just spent $250 a file times four, $1,000 gone. You know, you can't go back and collect it as part of due diligence, like doing a home inspection on a house and saying, oh man, this house is structurally falling apart. Some of these sellers, they don't know what they have. Same thing. You're like, I ain't buying this, but you just spent, you know, $500 or $1,000 on a home inspection. Similar with notes. So that's why a lot of times I see people is when they go to get started, start and think it's great. I'm going to be all excited. I'm going to learn this and I'm going to be passive, and then realize it's just money after money after money they're throwing out there because they also aren't good at spotting what type of loans may or may not be problematic, or know which sellers sell problematic loans, and then just call me up and say, okay, how do I invest in the fund? And that's something that, again, happy. My membership group, I share all this information with people. I give them lists of servicers, legal advisors. But as passive as it is, and I think it is passive once you get the loans, is that upfront work that you have to do. And you know, the last part of it is that I talk about all that due diligence you got to do up front and stuff. The next part is, again, setting up that investment to monitor your performance. How are you monitoring performance? How are you tracking payments? How has all that happened? Whether you're using a self-directed IRA to invest in notes, highly recommend using a self-directed IRA. You reach out to us. We have companies that we have recommendations for, I guess, or I don't know if it's affiliations, recommendations, probably shouldn't be doing either, but let me just rephrase this. Companies we enjoy working with and companies we think do a good job. Happy to share them with you. But you know, getting that account set up, getting an account set up with a loan servicer so they can handle the collections, the payments, the compliance, and then monitoring and tracking your returns. Did you set up an LLC for this? How are you tracking all that? You know, note investing, I recommend setting up the LLC and going through that process. So a lot to unwrap. And as we roll through this episode, you know, I don't want people to think, again, I start off how wonderful it is, how passive it is. It is. But it's like anything, you got to get everything set up, and that takes time and effort. But once you get there, you can reap the benefits. Now, if this isn't something that you want to get involved in, that's where, again, that fun route and other types of options come into play. But either way, note investing is a great strategy in 2025. And I encourage you, take the step to learn about it, learn more about it. I'm always somebody who loves to absorb and get educated and learn new things because it enhances all your other skills as well. So I want to thank you for listening to this episode of Creating Wealth Simplified. Check us out at 7einvestments.com where you can learn more about our company, our offerings, our membership. And as always, make sure to leave us a review on your favorite listening station. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Catch you on the next one.
Thank you for joining Lauren and I on this episode of the Creating Wealth Simplified podcast. Each week, we bring you expert education, experience, and information in a digestible format to help you identify investment opportunities so you can build wealth through real estate and take action toward your financial goals. Enjoy the show, share with a friend, or subscribe to the show and leave us a review.